So we focused last week on the first three verses of John chapter 1, and John referred to Jesus as the Word, the eternal Word, who's with God, who is God, and who is the Creator. And then now starting in verse 4, John switches analogies, and he introduces Jesus as the life and the light. And so we're going to be focusing specifically on verses 4 to 9, but I'm going to read starting verse 1. So John chapter 1, verse 1. Listen and let your mind swim in the splendor and glory of who Jesus is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. That's where I'll end the reading, God's holy word. I love cartoon movies. And there's lots of reasons to love cartoon movies. They're simple and easy to follow. I don't have to do a lot of figuring out or trying to predict what's going to happen like I have to do in most grown-up movies. Things are very simple. I don't get lost with all the twists and turns. And so they're simple and they're fun, but at the same time, they deal with some pretty hard things. Like when Simba's dad dies in the stampede and Simba runs away in The Lion King, or when Nemo gets captured and Marlin and Dory have to go and search for him and finding Nemo, or when Rapunzel gets taken from her parents and locked away in a high tower, entangled. The best part about cartoon movies, though, is that they always end well. They always end well. I can always count on things to be wrapped up at the end, everything brought to completion. In the end, the good guy wins, the bad guy loses, the mission is accomplished, people are reunited and saved. I love cartoon movies because they always end well. C.S. Lewis was a big fan of fairy tales, and you could put cartoon stories in there as well. And he was a big fan for various reasons. He promoted fairy tales, and he, in fact, wrote a bunch of his own fantasy stories. But as he did that, he got some pushback. And he said that, he got pushback not just from the general public, but from other Christians. And one of the objections that other Christians raised is that fairy tales, and you can put cartoon movies in that category, fairy tales give our kids an unrealistic picture of the world. They give our kids an unrealistic picture of the world. And partly what they meant is that in real life, the good guy doesn't always come out on top. In real life, you don't always things don't always end well. You don't always do what's right and things end up good for you. In real life, happy endings are really actually pretty hard to find. And so C.S. Lewis responded to this criticism and he said, "On the contrary, fairy tales give our kids a realistic impression of the world. In fact, it's realistic stories that are more likely to deceive them." He says, fairy tales give our kids a realistic impression of the world. And I agree very much with C.S. Lewis on this point. Here's why. In the world, it does look like sometimes that the evil guy wins and the good guy loses. And sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between the good guy and the bad guy. And it's really hard to find a happy ending in this world. Things don't always end well. But if you know Jesus Christ, then you need to live every day knowing that you're in the middle of the best ending story that there is. That as much as evil may try to destroy us in our world, in the end, light wins. If you know Jesus Christ, then you're guaranteed a happy ending. And fairy tales and cartoons remind us of this very simple truth. Evil won't win. The good guy will. Well, this is what John's telling us here. He calls Jesus the light, and he says that the light shines in the darkness. This is the ultimate battle between good and evil. It's the clash that is we've been awaiting, or that the human race, that the godly ones have been waiting. John says that as much as the darkness tries, and it does try hard, it throws everything at the light to try to stop it. But as much as it tries, it says, the darkness will not overcome the light. In those words, we have the promise of a happy ending to this long and hard story of the human race. In real life, the good guy wins. The light wins. Jesus wins. John's not writing this book so as to be suspenseful, so we're always trying to guess how it's going to work out and how it's all going to end. But on the contrary, he states it very clearly here. The light's coming in to push the darkness out, and the darkness will not overcome it. The light wins. Very simple. Living in this world, you have to recognize that there's darkness all around us. It's all around us politically, it's around us in business, in our neighborhoods and houses, it's around us even in our own hearts. And it can be very discouraging to be surrounded by darkness so often. But John reminds us, the light has come into the world to beat back the darkness, and he will win. Trust in the light. The light of Jesus Christ. Because with Him you will triumph. So as John begins his Gospel, he begins by referring to Jesus as the Word, but then in verse 4 he transitions analogies and he refers to Him as the life. And then in the very next phrase he transitions again and he refers to Him as the light. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus is the life and the light. What does John mean by this, by referring to Jesus as the life and the light? Well, what he means here is that Jesus is the source of all life and light, and that apart from Him, there is no real life and light. Apart from Him, there's only death and darkness. Every day we wake up to the sunrise, or maybe the sun has already risen. And then we go to bed after the sun has set, and then it comes back again like better than clockwork the next day. And although you might not notice it, or maybe only notice it when it's really bright, or when there's a solar eclipse, or when there's a beautiful sunset, it's easy to take the sun for granted. Well, if the sun stopped shining, life on Earth would quickly die out. Everything would go dark instantly. The moon would go dark because it only reflects the light of the sun. And although you could see the stars in all their glory, they wouldn't really shed much light on the earth. And because of this, plants would die because they need light. The temperatures would plummet. And there's some debate among the experts over whether we would freeze to death or starve to death first. But either way, we wouldn't survive long without the sun. It's the source of all life and light on earth. Well, John is saying that Jesus, even more so than the sun, is the source of all life and all light on earth. And this is true both scientifically and spiritually. John just told us that Jesus is the one who created all things. There isn't anything that was made that He didn't make. He's the one who breathed life into this world. He sustains your life, causing your lungs to fill with air and then to expel the air and causing your blood to be pumped throughout your body. And if He removed your breath, you would simply crumble. You would die. Jesus sustains your life. And He's also the light, scientifically speaking. He's the one who created the sun, and apart from Him, the sun would simply disappear. He could, in a moment, blow out the sun like a candle. The sun has the power to sustain life on earth only because Jesus has given it its power. So scientifically speaking, Jesus is the source of all life and light in the universe. But John's statement about Jesus goes way beyond science. And we need to understand it spiritually. Apart from Jesus, there is only spiritual darkness and death. Apart from Jesus, there's only moral corruption and wickedness. There's only condemnation in hell because of our sins. But Jesus, the Holy One, the Righteous One, the Light, He comes into this dark world in order to give life and light. He is the only source of life and light. Trying to live without Jesus is like trying to live without the sun. You just won't survive it. John develops this concept of Jesus as the life and the light all throughout the gospel. This concept is really found all throughout the scriptures, and we'll be going over this concept again and again. But I draw your attention to what the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 2. He says that we were dead in our trespasses and sins, controlled by Satan. We followed our own corrupt passions. We were destined for the wrath of God in the darkness of hell. But then in verse 4 he says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, has made us alive together in Jesus Christ." The concept really is very simple. Jesus is the source of all life and light. So that means without Him, you die in darkness. It's like trying to survive without the sun. You can't survive. Are you trying to live without the Son of God? You need to recognize that you won't survive without Him. Even as Christians, we can fall into this pattern. We have lots of things to do, and many of you are very capable people, and a lot of people depend on you, and so your days become so busy, filled up with those things that we think to be the most important things, and all too often we fail to walk every moment and every day abiding in Christ. We forget that we need to walk in His light. And the less you rely on Him, the more you wither. Your own strength, your own self-sufficiency, the thought that you don't need Jesus, that you don't need to spend time with Him, that you can basically live without Him, all that is a deceptive illusion. Apart from Jesus, you will wither and die. Walk in the light of His life every day. Now to take that thought a step further, John refers to Jesus in verse 9 as the true light. Jesus is the true light. Why does John make it a point to clarify that Jesus isn't just the light, but He's also the true light? Well, it's because there are a lot of false lights out there. Lights that lead you astray. Lights that give you the wrong impression. There are lots of philosophies in the world that pretend to be the light, that present the world in a certain way. They present different answers to the world's problems, to your problems. But John says, no, Jesus is the only true light. In the world of show business, it's really important for actors to look right. You know, with all the camera close-ups and stuff, you need to make sure everything's perfect. Because that's so important, actors need to have in their dressing room vanity lights. And the vanity lights that they have are basically mirrors that are surrounded by lights. And so when you look into the mirror, there's light shining at your face from every direction so you can see all the imperfections and all the things that need to be covered up with makeup. So if you walk in the dressing room and you flip on the overhead light and look in the mirror, you may think, yeah, looking pretty good today. Think I'm good to go. But then you flip on the vanity lights and all your pimples and scars and plugged up pores are revealed. Well, John is saying that there are lots of overhead lights in the world that present you with a false sense of reality, a false sense of security in your own righteousness and your own ability. Of course, in our religion, the prevailing religion of our day is the religion of humanism, which says that people are basically good. We can do this on our own. There's no problem too big for us to conquer. We can do it all ourselves. But it's a false light, giving us a false sense of security. John says that Jesus is the true light. And so when you see yourself in the light of the world, in front of the light of the world, you don't see things as they really are. But when you see yourself in the light of Jesus Christ, you see that problems are far deeper and far bigger than we can handle on our own. And our self-righteousness and self-reliance is revealed as the fraud that it really is. When you see yourself in the light of Jesus Christ, it becomes clear that you need a Savior. And Jesus is that Savior. And you need to walk in His light every day to trust in Him, to entrust your life to Him. Jesus is the only source of life and light. Without Him, you won't survive. Now, as the true light, John continues to say that this light shines in the darkness. This light shines in the darkness. John uses this analogy that the light shines in the darkness to indicate that as Jesus enters the world, He's waging war against the darkness. Light and dark are by nature at war against each other. Satan, the deceiver, was given lots of power in this world. This was his place. This is where he reigned with terror. He held people in captivating them in a spirit of fear. Fear of death. He enslaved the world in sin and wickedness. But Jesus, the true light, was coming into the world. And by nature, he was waging war against that darkness, against Satan and his kingdom, and it's a fight to the death. It's like the announcement of D-Day in World War II. The Allied armies invaded Europe, where it had been engulfed in the darkness of the Nazi Empire. They were declaring, "We're coming, and we're not going to stop until there's unconditional surrender." Well, John here is announcing our spiritual D-Day. The dominion of darkness is over, because light has entered the world. Satan and his demons knew exactly who Jesus was. And so they took all their efforts and all their forces and they focused them on Jesus. They thought if we can snuff out the light, then we will drag this whole world into the pit of hell, into the pit of darkness. So Satan leveled his best attacks against Jesus, seeking to get him to fall into temptation. When that didn't work, he tried to thwart his influence in the world through the Pharisees, by using the Pharisees against him. And ultimately, he turned one of his own disciples against him who betrayed him. He turned the nation of Israel against him by falsely accusing him. And they condemned him. And then he turned the Roman Empire against him as Pilate sent him to the cross. The darkness did everything in their power to snuff out the light, to swallow him up, and they crucified him and he died. And it looks like the darkness won. But John is preparing us for that. He's preparing us in these early verses by saying, whatever you see, whatever happens here, remember, the darkness will not overcome the light. There will be times when it looks like the darkness wins, but don't buy it. The darkness will not overcome the light. The light will always prevail. But the light of the world died on the cross. And he was buried, and it seemed like the darkness had snuffed out the light. The disciples themselves were losing heart. One disciple basically said, well, we thought he was going to be the one who would redeem Israel. And the idea there is, but I guess we were wrong. Because he's dead and buried. But 3 days after he was crucified, the light of the world rose in victory. And what this means is that the darkness unloaded everything that they had against him. They unleashed their biggest weapons, but they still couldn't win. And they will never win against the risen King, Jesus Christ, who's enthroned and reigns over a kingdom that will never end. The light will always win. I remember reading a book called Christianity and Liberalism by J. Gresham Machen, written a while ago. And he talked about the lies that were creeping into the church. And the church was compromising on the truth. And how eventually that leads us to the abandonment of the gospel. And it was somewhat of a discouraging book, really. But he ends his book saying, very matter-of-factly, revival will come. It's only a matter of time before there is reformation in the church. And he says that with such confidence because he knows the darkness will not win. The light will always triumph. It's this perspective, it's this confidence that you need to live every day. Otherwise, the darkness is going to wear you down and wear you out. Don't fret. But remember, the light will always win. Now, although the cross and the resurrection was a decisive victory over the darkness, the war still continues on. Satan wages war against all those who hold to the testimony of Jesus Christ. Satan is a roaring lion seeking to devour you. He wages war against your soul. But here in these verses, we are given the strategy that Jesus has to continue to shine His light, to defeat the darkness, to advance His church and His kingdom. In verses 5 and 6, John, the writer of the gospel, introduces us to a different John. So he's not referring to himself here, but he refers to a different John. We know that John is John the Baptist. And he said that John came as a witness to the light. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light so that through him all might believe in the light. Being a witness is a pretty big theme in the Gospel of John, much more so than the other Gospels. And he uses John the Baptist to introduce this idea to us, this idea of being a witness to the light. Of course, John the Baptist had a special role as he was the one who would prepare the way for the coming of Jesus. But here he simply introduces him as a witness so that through him, people might see the light, so that through him people would be redirected to the light. Well, this is still the strategy of our Savior in his battle against darkness. Our Lord Jesus reigns there in heaven over all things, but he's filled us with his Spirit so that we would reflect his light into the world. He shined his light into our hearts so that it would reflect into this world. So if you think of Jesus as the sun, the source of all light and life, then we are like moons, reflecting his light into the darkness. Jesus lights up this world by using his people to reflect his light, so that all might believe in him. Jesus continues to wage war against the darkness by using you, so that you would shine into the world. And as we shine into the world, it'll beat back the darkness. You need to recognize that you're part of the plan for victory. Jesus has accomplished our salvation there on the cross, and he's beating back the darkness by shining his light into your heart, transferring you out of the kingdom of darkness, bringing you into the kingdom of light, so that you would shine in the darkness and beat it back. Jesus will, in the end, bring it to completion. the darkness will be eradicated and there will only be light. So Jesus is the source of all life and light. He's the only true light. He's come to beat back the darkness, and He continues to use you to do that. And so by announcing His coming, John is declaring this to be our D-Day. The D-Day for the world. Darkness has had its dominion for many years, but Jesus, the light of life, has come into the world to set us free from the clutches of Satan. And as hard as the darkness may try, and they're going to give it everything they got, they will not win. The light will triumph. I love stories where the good guy wins and the bad guy loses. And this is the best story of all because this is the one that you and I live in. It's the best ending story there will be. And it's easy to get disheartened because we go through hard times and we endure lots of heartache and carry heavy burdens and we battle against sin that continues to entangle us and we get worn down by the darkness. But remember, you're still in the middle of the story. The Lord Jesus continues to shine His light in your heart and in this world, and the best ever ending is yet to come. So when you read stories with happy endings, or you watch those cartoon movies that have happy endings, or you tell fairy tales that have those happily ever afters, let that remind you that you're living in the middle of the best story of all. The human race was enslaved in sin and the clutches of Satan, but Jesus, the light and life of the world, has come to defeat our enemies, to save us, to bring us into His light, where we will live with Him happily ever after. The only happily ever after there really is. Trust in the light. Because with Him, you will triumph over the darkness. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for not abandoning us in the midst of darkness. And we confess that we voluntarily chose to live in the darkness by sinning against You. But in Your mercy, You've sent Jesus to be the light of the world, to shine in the darkness, to save us and to adopt us as Your people. And so we thank You, Jesus, for willingly coming into the world to shine Your light in the darkness, to wage war against the evil one, and to save the world and to rescue Your people. As we continue to linger in this battle, we long for that day to come when You will return, where the darkness would be forever destroyed. But as we await that great final day, help us to be good reflectors, to shine Your light into this world. Help us to do that with the hope of glory. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.